Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them, episode 274. I'm not sick like I thought I was going to be. I'm better.
I'm glad.
It's a miraculous recovery, some would say, because sometimes my body just does that. Like, I will be like, oh, it's coming. I'm going to get so sick. And then I just don't. And I'm like, okay. I don't know what that was, but
yeah,
okay.
No, if it's coming for me, like, I'm out for the count for like a week.
Really?
Yeah. I'm rarely sick because I'm usually alone.
I think my immune system is like superior since having children. Like, they cough in my face.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, after Coachella, I literally was like dying because my body was right. You're usually around no one. And then you were just around thousands of people. So.
Right. What was that about?
Yeah. Hi, girlies. How are you? Hope you're doing well.
Hello. Not the small talk.
I'm like glad I didn't have to say the episode today because I would have forgotten it. But right. I'm excited that next episode on Monday. No, this is Monday's.
Hello?
I don't know. I'm short circuiting. We're a week away from, well, right now we're filming on Friday. So we're a week away from 275, which is a good number.
I don't know all the math you just did, but I'm going to pretend that I understood it.
We're filming on a Friday right now. So it's going up on Monday. But from right now, it's a week away because it'll be next Love that. Fridays.
I'm drinking Tim Hortons. Where are my Canadians at? Whoop, whoop.
Hey.
Listen, Tim Hortons is all right. It's not too bad.
Isn't it just kind of, wouldn't you say it's like a Dunkin' Donuts, but by a different name?
No, it's better than Dunkin' Donuts. I feel like Dunkin' Donuts has gone down the shitter. Everything I get from Dunkin' Donuts, it's like, I know it's a different person probably making it every time, but why does it taste like a different drink? You know what I mean? Do you even follow a recipe?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's a different recipe. I don't feel like there's literally a ton of Dunkin' Donuts in, I would say California, but in the areas that I've lived in.
Oh my God. This is Dunkin' Donuts Central over here. I have like three right by me.
Oh.
And they all suck.
Yeah, no, I feel like when I think of Dunkin' Donuts, I think of like they have them in like airports.
That's how I feel about Starbucks. Well, they have anyway, Starbucks everywhere. Nonetheless, we are gathered here today for an episode. And this is a very interesting episode because we do have two topics like normal, but you know our show, right? It's called Do We Know Them?
Rarely.
And the reason we named it that.
Anymore.
Yeah. The reason we named it that is because Lily came up with it. She was like, okay, we're influencers. We've talked about this before, but just in case you're new here, it's like, okay, we're influencers. And so we're going to be talking about like current things happening on the internet. The chances that we know some of the people we're talking about are high. So we were originally going to talk about it in that sense where it's like, oh, we're covering Trisha Paytas. Do we know them? Yes, we do. This is how we know them. And then we talk about the whatever. Anyway, we barely ever fucking know them now.
Well, because I feel like after 274 episodes, after like 10 episodes, we had to start branching out. Actually, I feel like even from the beginning, we didn't really always know them. But like both of us had kind of weird pre this careers that like we did meet more than your average YouTuber, I feel like, that would be just like making videos in their bedroom. Because like I worked for a company that collabed with a lot of people, and there was other channels that worked the same company. And then you just were super famous and met
That's
a lot of people.
Thought.
Because I feel like a lot of Viners are still big.
Yeah, a lot of Viners, like especially like the top 10 type people, they kind of stayed, you know, in circles somehow. I mean, look at Logan Paul. Jesus Christ. Do we know them? Unfortunately. But anyway, Lily knows them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, okay. So the reason she brings that up is because today we're going to be talking about a brand, but also the owner of the brand. And I am very familiar with them. And it made me a little uncomfortable when I saw the video. But alas, for you guys, we will continue.
Yeah. You don't just know them. You like...
I said, I know them, like... I'm pretty familiar.
Yeah, like you were in it. Like, okay, let's just start with that one because I feel like people are really going to want to hear about it. But we're going to be talking about a girl named Victoria Nelson.
Don't know her.
Who had a very, very, very bad experience with celebrity esthetician Sonia Dekar.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know them, Lily? Go on.
I like got uncomfortable when you said her name. I'm like, oh, she's gonna yell at me. Yeah. So Sonia Dekar, she is an esthetician that is in Beverly Hills and has this like gorgeous clinic. They have like a rooftop thing. I've been to events there too. We went there for a Beauty Trippin' episode. Beauty Trippin' was the show I used to host with. It was a cycling cast. Jesse was on it once. Twice.
Hey, twice.
I think it was Jocelyn and I went for more than one episode, actually. Like at least two, I think, where we got some kind of like weird facial that she was offering. It was a spinoff of our show Beauty Break where we would try beauty products. Beauty Trippin' was like going out into the world and trying stuff. So we went and it was great. I, in like 2018-ish, started randomly for the first time in my entire life having like really bad adult acne. And it was really not a good time. I'm so sorry for anyone dealing with acne. It is just like
the worst.
I think mine was definitely hormonal and it was like all around like my chin area, but
for sure then
holy shit, it was ruining my life. And she was like, I can fix it.
I think that's a red flag already if they could, if they say that. Like, I feel like...
Well, it wasn't, like, know? Severe, like, covering my whole face. Like, you wouldn't have known. Like, when I had makeup on, it wasn't obvious. So
okay.
I think she probably saw it. I was like, that'll be easy. Whatever. And honestly, it ended up being, like, pretty effective. I think, again, it was hormones, so it didn't, like, totally get rid of it because...
What did she do when you would go there? Just, like, pop your pimples? Do a facial?
I honestly couldn't even tell you. But so, basically, what she offered me was, I think she... called it like beauty boot camp. It was like kind of like a package that you would buy where you would go in like pretty frequently. I want to say it was like once a week even maybe. And I think it was like for 10 sessions or so. And it's like valued at like over $10,000 easily. Like she's like very...
How much did you pay this woman, Lily?
Nothing.
Wait.
Nothing?
Yeah, no, she did it for free.
Wait,
I'm confused. Why did she do it for free? Did you post for her? Like, what's the vibe?
Yeah, but there was no, like, contract or anything, and I never did, like, a video. I did a lot of stories that I would post and tag her. But honestly, it was like, and
if
I didn't
ever
have
gone
a ton
to this
of
lady
either.
Because of Lily, we want to apologize right here, right now. Okay.
No, honestly, that's why I wanted to cover it, because I have posted about her, like, a very decent amount. And I'm sure there's some grid posts as well, like some before and afters. Because honestly, it was like the best my skin had looked in a very long time.
Well, okay. So when you went into those sessions, I asked you specifically if you got a chemical peel, because what we're going to be talking about is a chemical peel that she performed that went horribly wrong and scarred a girl
like, terrifying.
For life, essentially. Yeah. But you told me, yes, she did give you chemical peels.
So I couldn't, I feel like that entire, like 2018, 2019, 2020, all kind of a blur.
Yeah, what, do you have a blackout or something? How do you not remember?
It was when my back was really bad. And I genuinely, like, it's literally just like all a blur. And I honestly think that's why I stopped going to her, is because I moved and it was like really far then to go from the Valley to Beverly Hills.
To
and
drive,
I just like couldn't.
Yeah.
To handle it. I don't really know how to describe her besides like her bedside manner. She's very blunt. If you want to be like gentle parented, Sonia Dekar would not be for you.
Wait, but when you have acne and stuff, I feel like people are sensitive. Would she say a remark that makes you feel like uncomfortable with your acne? Or like, oh, this is horrible. Or not those words.
Oh,
exactly,
no.
Like
no. She's not like
similar.
A Dr. Kenny.
Okay. That's what my question
No,
okay.
But also like just physically, she is very like aggressive.
But like how? That's like,
she
example?
Would like
do
stuff and she, I feel like you could pull up the Beauty Trippin episode though and then you could see like how she was.
Oh, was she
us.
Mean to you on there?
No, she's not mean. She's just like kind of a lot. And by the way, I think it's like she's a very well-known successful celebrity esthetician. That's why we went to her. She did like Gwyneth Paltrow. She has this like oil that is a huge hit.
You want to do the rose gold clay mask?
That's me.
Shall I sit down?
Yes, please come lay down.
Oh, this is nice.
So just watch, like, she's just, like, really aggressive in how she does everything.
Number one, we're going to take Sensi Wash. They have a lot of oat. And what it does is, like, really calming the skin.
Does that mean it's edible?
She's taking the place of Jocelyn
today. It's extra from edible, from oat.
Did she just say her face wash is edible?
There's a lot of makeup. I'm covering up all the hormonal acne.
We don't call them breakouts or acne. We call them interruptions.
Oh, I like that.
Skin
so
interruptions.
Cute. Yes. I'm having a lot
That's
of interruptions right
Girl,
now. They're being very rude.
This is what that Sensi Wash get rid of.
She has this product called the Flash Facial that, you know, those like TikTok, they're not considered peels, but it's like exfoliating thing that everyone's been like, that you rub it and the skin comes off. There's like a popular one that I've been seeing on TikTok shop. Like
Dr.
Constantly.
Malaxin.
Yeah, that. It's kind of like that. So, and you'll see her do that. And she's very like just
rough with it.
Yeah.
A flash facial.
I think you've sent us home with this before. Doesn't it make your skin kind of peel off?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Dissolves that top layer of like dead, dry skin that can clog pores.
Who's she? That's her daughter.
Just kind of make you look like lifeless.
She's like her like business partner.
It's hydrating the skin while exfoliating. This is the only technology exists in the world.
Yeah, she's really manhandling your face there,
girl. And like she would like do extractions and stuff.
Oh my God. Okay, wait, that's actually kind of wild, because if that is any form of AHA, like when I get AHA anywhere near my eye area, it burns. Like I just can't. Like I have to keep it just by my nose and chin and like maybe here on my forehead because it's so potent. Like she's treating it like it's water.
Honestly, I never had any reactions from any of the stuff she did, obviously. And like, again, it was the best my skin had looked in a while, ever, probably.
But you also went from having like no facials.
Exactly.
To this.
So that's like, even aside from the acne, it was just like my skin was so much better than it ever had been. And also doing regular extractions. But you can see, like, I have like stuff that I picked. There's like wounds on my face.
Yeah, that's another thing. You're not really supposed to put AHA on like wounds.
Well, and just like rub it aggressively.
Yeah, it's quite a intense.
It did work. It kind of like made me like, oh, I guess that I like, because I feel like I was always trying to be like so gentle, and she was just kind of like, bleh. I had no complaints. Like, I would be there sometimes and she'd like be running a little late, and it's because like Sophia Bush was in the next room before she called us terrorists.
Me trying to remember who that is again.
Oh my God. I can't even reference her character because you've never seen One Tree Hill.
Oh yeah. No, definitely not.
Oh my God. She also, because that was when my back was really bad, you know, like red light therapy is supposed to like heal. Yeah. She would like have me like sit somewhere where she would put that where like my back and neck stuff was too. Like, she definitely seemed to mean well.
Yeah, maybe that means well, but I'm pretty sure I've seen that there's like no scientific evidence.
Oh, well, probably. But just the fact that she was like offering because she was like,
yeah,
trying
like
to
considering
help.
That.
Yeah. And yeah. You get that kind of vibe when Victoria is telling the story, because she says that she like called her like her LA mom and stuff. And seeing this video, I was like, holy shit. What do you mean? I was very, very surprised, because again, she can be aggressive and she's like a little forward and blunt with her delivery on stuff, but like very nice and like very generous. Again, like I didn't pay for any of those treatments and they were definitely like thousands of dollars a piece. I mean, I was posting, but still, I feel like that was.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Out of the ordinary. And she would like send me home. I think I bought the products like after a few sessions, but like I wasn't even buying the products at first. She was just giving me those too. So this story has a lot of different factors though.
I don't really know how to accurately convey how little I want to be making this video right now, but I've kind of run out of options. So this is my story about my experience with celebrity esthetician Sonia Dekar.
Jesus.
And how she changed my face forever. I've put off making this video for literal years. It's a pretty like scarring literally experience for me. So I'm gonna try to get through this in one video. Try not to curse, and I'm gonna try not to cry. So just please bear with me. I started seeing Sonia in late 2019. I was 26 and was insecure about having acne. That's not really that far out of the realm of normal for a lot of people. I tried a lot of other solutions and I stumbled across Sonia. I started using her products at home and then ended up going in and seeing her in her clinic. I was immediately enthralled. She was so intelligent and so convinced that we could be able to like clear my acne, which if anyone's been through that, that's the dream. Pretty much from the moment we started working together, I was posting online about my experience and how she did end up clearing my acne. I was telling people to buy her products and go see her in her clinic in Beverly Hills. I even called her my LA mom at the time and actually took my own mom to her clinic for a session. It's a pretty safe bet to say that I was a very strong supporter. She also called me family. So our sessions were kind of this like half skincare, half therapy. Like I really felt like I was hanging out with and getting advice from my mom. Flash forward to April of 2021, and I was going in for a routine facial, which by this point I had done plenty of times. We go into the room, everything is normal, standard facial, we're chit-chatting, and then she insists that we finish out the appointment with a peel. We had done a peel before, I trusted her. She, one, is the expert, two, knew my skin better than anybody else, and three, the way it's described both on her website and in the room is having no downtime.
So that's crazy.
One thing I actually do want to mention that I did not mention to you is, so Jesse asked me, she's like, did you get a peel? And I was like, that's why I started to say, I like, it's all kind of a blur. I don't really remember. So I scrolled back to my pictures because it's all very well documented. And I looked and I had gotten a peel. And then I remembered that when she gave it to me, she didn't ask me first.
No, stop it.
So plot twist, there is downtime.
That's why I'm like so flabbergasted by this screenshot, because it literally says from her website, over 30 years of experience in providing professional peels with no downtime, irritation, or peeling.
Spoiler alert, there was irritation and there was peeling.
I mean, well, that's like a chemical peel. Chemical peels.
Exactly.
In the word peel is because like your skin literally
burns
peels
off
the top layers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's
and
insane.
I remember when she put it on, like usually peels don't like hurt when you apply it.
Maybe like a slight tingling or
yeah,
something.
I've gotten
for some
one
people.
Kind of like in more recent years, and I definitely could feel it. I also think I probably had some spots that I'd like picked first. But I remember when she put it on, like, it didn't feel like anything crazy at all. So, like, I kind of didn't even really realize what it was until then. It was, like, the next 3 days.
Saying that to you is next level. Like, that is so irresponsible. That's crazy.
I guess, like, because what if I had something that, like, I mean, I guess we had already been at, like, she knew my skin pretty well, so I don't know.
Yeah, but what if you're, like, allergic? Or, like, what if you had a bad experience years ago with a chemical peel or something, like... She needs to know.
Or like, things. What if I had something to do tomorrow?
Well, that's also true too, because there is downtime. But you're saying that even after the peel, she didn't follow up with aftercare and like things like you need to stay out of the sun or anything like that?
Oh, I mean, I don't remember that.
Because you're saying you found out like when you got home essentially.
No. It wasn't like I found out when it started peeling. She must have told me like, okay. I don't know. But I don't remember.
Because that was scary. I was No. Oh my
but
God.
Like she didn't ask me if I wanted to do the peel.
Yeah, no, that's insane. She also says on her website that she uses natural and organic ingredients to assure safe and effective results of glowing and healthy looking skin.
Well, and that's one of the reasons she's gotten so popular again, is she has like this omega oil that has gotten super famous, and she's the one that has like mixed the formulas for all of her products, and they are not the same products that are in like typical skincare. And like, honestly, I hadn't used any of them in a long time, but then when I was cleaning one day, I found an old sample, like little thing of a mask. And I put it on and it was like, oh my God, this is so good. Why have I like forgotten really? About her products? And probably like less than a year ago, started buying them again. So that was even like, again, crazy that I then saw this video. I'm like, I did cancel my, you know, when you subscribe and it's cheaper.
Yeah.
I had done that, but then I canceled it like 2 months ago because I had too much of it. But it's just like all a mind fuck watching this because I'm like, this could have been me.
Literally.
So she starts the treatment. The solution is a liquid solution in a dropper. And she starts by applying it to my left cheek, then my forehead, and then my right cheek. And a small drop actually landed just below my left eyebrow. Jesus. I kind of felt this immediate, like, burning.
And I don't remember. Mine definitely wasn't with the dropper. You know, those like brushes where you like paint on a mask.
Yeah.
It was with that.
Well, and I feel like in general, you shouldn't put a chemical peel with a dropper straight to the skin.
Because it would
and
be
you
uneven.
Could see her scars.
Yeah.
It's literally in the shape of a pea.
Like how she dropped it in.
Yeah. That's why you shouldn't do that. I just don't understand why she would have gone that route. That's insane.
Yeah.
They can have a little bit of a bite to them, but this definitely felt different. My eyes started watering. I hadn't been given eye protection, so my tear actually wiped some of this towards my hairline. Pretty quickly after saying that it actually hurt, she rinsed it off. I was given a fan to kind of cool my face down. It was still just like really on fire, and I was kind of confused as to why this hurts so badly. So I opened the front facing camera on my phone to use as mirror, as any millennial woman probably would.
I don't know what I would do.
This is insane. This is sloppy.
She thought it was
horrible.
Like a lotion on her skin. She like didn't realize that it was a burn.
God.
White lotion, but pretty quickly realized that that was actually my skin just burned. I immediately snapped these photos and I sent them to my group chat, where my friends immediately started freaking out. Rightfully so. One thing you should know about me is I tend to hide my pain and emotions in humor. So I tried to kind of play it off like it was going to be gone soon. And in the room, she was very much insistent that it would be fine. She would fix it. And her words were, in 1 month, we would be perfect. That week was arguably one of the more terrible I've ever felt about myself. Every morning, I would snap a photo of my face and send them to her.
Jesus.
And ask for
Oh my God. It just hurts to look at.
I can't even believe it burned this bad.
I know.
It's literally like a third degree burn.
Well, and that's in someone, she went to a, she'll get to this, so I won't get into detail, but she says she went to a dermatologist later and they were like shocked that Sonia hadn't told her to go to the hospital.
Oh,
but, like,
my God.
It is so bad that you should have gone to like a plastic surgeon and stuff too.
She would give me a protocol of what to apply. Actually, I'm so uncomfortable sharing these photos, but I think it shows what I was dealing with.
Holy shit.
Like, please just be kind, or like, don't be mean about them.
She said this and I was like, oh my God, who would be mean about it? Like, it's hard to look at, but not, it's not like, ew,
it's
what's
not
wrong
your
with
fault.
Yeah, it's
in
like, holy
way.
Shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's so bad.
And at the end of that week, I was actually supposed to go hang out with my brother. And she, in a text, said to me, is he going to be scared to see you like that? And I wouldn't say he was scared. And I can honestly ask him again today. He was pretty mad and upset and told me that I should pursue legal action pretty immediately. A side note is that at the time, I was actually just coming out of a other legal issue with an ex-boyfriend that honestly drained the life out of me. So the thought of going through another legal battle,
I get it,
just didn't sound like something I could handle at the time. And I honestly, at my core, really trusted that she could fix this because she told me so. So again, with my brother, I kind of downplayed it, insisted that it would be fine. And when him and I were out that day, someone came up and asked me if I had acid thrown on my face, Jesus. Which I didn't realize at the time was kind of going to be the beginning of people asking, I mean, fairly invasive, but also it's on my face. It's a quite obvious thing. If you're looking at my face, it's one of the first things you see. So it wasn't that bizarre that someone was asking about it, but I don't think I was fully prepared for how often over the years that would come up. As the days and the weeks went on, I just kind of desperately held on to hope that she was right and she would be able to fix it. So I did about 18 sessions with her in 2021 and 12 sessions in 2022. These treatments often included pretty aggressive microneedling.
Jesus. I don't know if I... She never did microneedling on me. And I guess that you're not supposed to do microneedling when you're an esthetician.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
She like shows later like what Sonia's license is and what is like allowed and what's not allowed. And that is not something you're supposed to do.
Wow. Well, I did see several comments. I'm not an esthetician. I don't even know much about skincare. But some of the comments were saying the fact that she microneedled on top of your burn scar, that's insane. And that's not how you should address that.
Which fits with like what I said about that she is really like, it didn't matter if you had like an open sore from like picking at your pimple, she was like rubbing it anyway. Yeah. Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, Hungry Root.
My least favorite part of cooking for my family is not only the cooking itself. I actually enjoy that part, but it's really the shopping, the planning, and all of the thought that goes into what my family's gonna eat. And that is where Hungry Root comes in because they make it so much easier.
They do. It's basically like having a personal shopper and a nutritionist all wrapped into one. And you don't have to go to the grocery store. You can pick your meals ahead of time. They give you all the ingredients that are pre-proportioned and you're ready to go.
And they have over 15,000 recipes to choose from every single week. So there's never going to be a week where you can't find something you and your family will love. And many of their meals are ready in just 15 minutes or less, but they also have ready-made options, which are amazing.
But I did do a little cooking this week. I did the Simple Sloppy Joe's Stuffed Potato.
Ooh.
You know I love a sloppy joe.
I know, you do. You're one of the only people I know that does, actually. I had the Southwest style chicken wrap and it was really yummy, really fresh. And I just love that I'm able to eat things I would have never thought of because there's so many ingredients that go into it that you're just kind of like, I'll just keep it simple.
Absolutely. It gives me some variety. Otherwise, I would just eat the exact same thing every single day. And regardless of what you pick, Hungry Root holds all of its food to high standards, screening out over 200 additives, including high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives. And for a limited time, we have an exclusive offer for you girlies that you can get 40% off your first box, plus a free item in every box for the rest of your life. All you have to do is go to hungryroot.com/DWKT and use the code DWKT.
That's hungryroot.com/DWKT, using the code DWKT to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. And thank you so much to Hungry Root for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
I don't know if I can show some of the photos because they're quite graphic and I think these apps might take them down, but I think this gives you a pretty good idea of what the treatment and the recovery was like. Yeah. And all of these treatments were followed by diligent use of her products and kind of this constant checking in with her of, are we making progress? Is it looking better?
I mean, how is she handling this, Sonia, where it's like you're now trying to fix something you did for 2 years?
And because you know that she could sue the fuck out of you.
Yeah, I hope she's not charging her for any of those.
Get ready.
Because that's insane.
She did.
And still feeling on the inside like I was permanently disfigured. We were kind of on this journey of the next one's going to be it. And I kept kind of holding on to hope that the next session was going to be it. She had promised me she was going to be able to fix it. To my knowledge, she never consulted with another professional about the protocols or what she was doing to fix it. But if she did, it was never communicated to me. During this time in 2021 and 2022, I spent about in the ballpark of $30,000 with Sonia. July of 2022, I went in for my routine skin check with my dermatologist and decided to just float the question of if she had any advice or thoughts on what else we could do. She was pretty immediately, one, really confused as to why Sonia hadn't immediately referred me out to a burn unit or a plastic surgeon when this initially happened. And two, was really concerned as to what was actually in this peel. since in her experience, what an esthetician would have shouldn't do this level of damage. To this day, I still have no idea what was in that liquid.
It almost makes me feel, especially you're describing getting a chemical peel from her, it really makes me feel like she was like using her as a guinea pig of some sorts. Like maybe she was like testing out a new formula.
Honestly, yeah, because it does sound very different than what she did for me. What, when did she say that she went?
2021 and 2022 is when she was fixing it. So I don't know.
So like 2021 probably, which is like 2 years after I was going to her.
The dermatologist recommended a different treatment plan, which was 6 sessions of a laser. Again, felt kind of like an empty promise of 6 sessions and you'll be good. And that was another $8,000 out of pocket. Jesus. Down the drain. Sonia reached out to me in January of 2023 and I let her know I was seeing a dermatologist and that we were trying this other plan.
So Sonia texts her and says, love to have you come for next week for skin treatment. You still have package. We can talk about how to get your complexion back to normal. How many more sessions do you have with the doctor? And she said, yeah, the white spot is getting a little frustrating because it feels like it might not go back to normal. When next week works. She originally said 5 to 6 total and it'd be gone, but we've done 4 and it doesn't feel like the end is in sight, sadly. She said, did she spoke to you about the white spot? I would be losing my mind.
I felt a little bit like I had been misled that this maybe wasn't permanent, and kind of as things went on, it was proving maybe it was. And she insisted I come back for treatment. In the way that I was thinking during this time, which is maybe stupid, but I really kind of had this thought of, she was the only person on this planet who knew what happened in that room. So she's the only one who could kind of figure out a solution. Whether that was smart or not, I put my hands up on that one. So during this time, I went back to Sonia to see if she could fix it. I went in for another 10 sessions and spent in the ballpark of about $10,000.
That's insane.
Sonia and I have not spoken since 2023. I've since been advised by a number of professionals that the liquid probably was medical grade, or at least something that an esthetician shouldn't have access to, and that's what her license is.
Also, though, she shows this, and it's like she looked up the license on the board website, and it says license status, license delinquent.
Maybe she didn't pay a fee or something.
Yeah. So that doesn't mean that it's like, oh my God, she's like, obviously she did have one, but like, that's kind of crazy too.
That means she doesn't have one right now, yeah, though, because exactly. It expired in May of 2025, and that already passed.
And I assume so she probably didn't pay or renew it. A recent screenshot.
Secondary status prior discipline, it says too, which is weird.
So I don't know if what that refers to, but I know like way afterwards, Joss and I had seen an article that she had some kind of like kerfuffle. It wasn't with a patient. It was like with, I don't remember if it was like a health code person or I don't know, but there was some kind of lawsuit that happened. So I don't know if it's referring to that or if there's something else, but
not good.
Yeah. So I looked it up after we were finished filming and it looks like her license is current now, but I also feel like Victoria probably didn't screenshot that long ago. So I'm kind of thinking maybe Sonia saw this was all blowing up and expeditiously went and renewed her license. And as for the prior discipline thing that Jesse pointed out, I was right. That does apply to an incident that happened, I guess, in 2008. And you can look at the documents associated with it and see the accusation. And it essentially is that an inspector went to Sonia Dakar, and when she asked for her license and the establishment license, I guess Sonia gave her a copy of her individual license and a copy of an expired establishment license. So the inspector tells her that she's required to maintain and display her original esthetician license, and she also informs her that the establishment license appeared to be expired and told her that she was going to have to confiscate the photocopied licenses. And then it says, it was at this point that respondent grabbed Inspector DeGrate's hand, attempted to bite Inspector DeGrate, and pulled Inspector DeGrate's hair. Inspector DeGrate was unable to complete her inspection. The resulting battery required Inspector DeGrate to seek medical attention. And I guess Sonia was like arrested and charged with battery. As for the disciplinary action, it looks like she ultimately got put on 3 years probation and then it was lifted. But much more recently, in 2020, although it's not a disciplinary action, she did face a discrimination lawsuit that was brought to her by 2 former employees who said they resigned from the company due to systemic workplace discrimination, including sexual orientation harassment and discrimination, retaliation, failure to take all reasonable steps to prevent harassment, discrimination and retaliation, negligent hiring, retention, and supervision, and various state labor code violations. Apparently, the employees were one that worked at the front desk as a concierge and then the other had a marketing role. And it says Dakar would openly make discriminatory comments against people who are African-American, Latinx, or Muslim. That according to court documents, Dakar is accused of saying that she would not interview or hire Black or Latinx applicants and question people during interviews about their religious, ethnic, and national origin. One of the plaintiffs left the company in December 2018, and the other resigned 3 months later, according to their complaint, which also alleges that Dakar failed to pay them all wages and other amounts they were owed.
Oof.
So that was in 2020. I mean, collectively, she's clearly had her fair share of controversies. It sucks that it took Victoria and her experience to bring light to all of this. But anyway, that's it for this update. But I do have another one coming later, so stay tuned.
I've also since been informed that the microneedling treatments she was doing to fix the issue are also not covered by that license. Flash forward to today, and I still very much have marks on my face, and it's something that I'm very self-conscious about. It's the first thing I see when I wake
up.
Wait,
that's her right now? That's insane. So it literally,
it's like maybe the texture is
whiter.
Like, okay.
The color looks like when it was first applied. Yeah. That's insane.
It looks like she, like, it's like a tan line or something.
Dude, what the fuck? How the fuck can Sonia live with herself and call herself an esthetician after doing this to someone? This is when you wrap it up. Maybe retire, mama.
That's why I'm wondering, is there like other people that are going to come out and have any kind of similar stories? Is this like a one-off
probably
thing? Like,
well, it's obvious she was close to her enough for Sonia to maybe feel okay with experimenting. Yeah. I mean, you guys weren't necessarily close. You went to her for like, what, like 6 months regularly, but she still felt comfortable enough with you to just be like, I'm going to do a chemical peel.
Yeah.
And like,
no, like I would say like the nature of how she is, like if you're going to her, like, it was pretty like, hey, like,
I'm going
to
do whatever.
I definitely wouldn't have been like, she's like my mom. Right. But like, she gives like mom vibes and you do feel like she knows what she's doing. So you're just kind of like letting
for
her
sure
run the show.
And when I see photos of myself, my first check is if the P shape on my left cheek is covered, if you can see the dent of where skin hasn't grown back in my forehead is,
Jesus,
or if you can still see the little white spot.
I just like knowing, because I have really bad hyperpigmentation from around same time with my back. I don't know, something hormonal or what, but it's like melasma, which like usually you get when you're like pregnant. So I have like really dark spots and it's been a huge confidence killer. And
it couldn't be from her chemical peel, right?
Honestly, I looked because I was like,
I'm like, wait,
I literally was like, oh my God.
The timing lines up.
No, genuinely, I was like, oh my God. My skin after that looked the best it had ever looked. So no, I don't think that's
okay.
Not the same.
All right, Sonia, we'll give you this one.
I was just going to say that, like, I know how self-conscious it makes me. And like, I can cut, like with makeup, I can cover it up pretty, like you can't see it when we're filming and stuff. I can't imagine. And like, that was something like, it feels like my body did that to me. So it's like, I'm mad at just the universe. But like, knowing that it was someone else's fault. Oh my God. And then it could have been prevented. I feel so bad.
I would put
her
a hex on her.
Yeah.
In total, over the years, I spent in the ballpark of $60,000.
Jesus
with Sonia,
Christ.
I trusted her with my face, with my skin, honestly, with a lot of my innermost feelings. And to feel like this person wasn't looking out for me in the way I'd hoped is just really disappointing at the end of the day. I've also spent another $30,000 on other treatments with other professionals in hopes of getting my face back and having the pigment and the texture go back to normal. My brother gets married next month, and when my future sister-in-law proposed the idea of getting a makeup artist for the bridal party, my immediate thought wasn't, I'm excited, my brother's getting married, this is gonna be so fun. It was that the makeup artist is likely going to have to spend extra time covering up my scarrings, which is just on a human level, really sad.
Yeah.
The monetary piece of this is obviously one, incredibly frustrating, but two, honestly, quite embarrassing. But the real issue is the amount of time and energy and effort I've put in putting together every photo, video, bill, text communication that kind of supports this case. There's been no resolution. I've tried to go about it the right way and do the right path, both legally and with the board who holds her license, but there's been absolutely no resolution.
That's so shitty.
The board actually has publicly recorded issues with her in the past and have put her license on probation before. There's also public information regarding her relationships with past clients, past employees. I encourage you to Google it. I went down a rabbit hole, and
oh my
honestly,
God.
I'm quite shocked and horrified by some.
This is a fucking review.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And one it's star. Awful. And it says, Sonia Dekar is truly a monster. She cut my face open during microdermabrasion. I bled. She dismissed it as it was part of the process, as it would heal just fine. Well, it did not. I was left with a rough, dry scab on my face for a week. The scab has left a deep scar. She scarred my face. And when I went to address it with her, I was screamed at, called names, and ignored. The worst customer service I've ever experienced in my entire life. She pushed her products and name dropped to no end, and I'm out $400 and have a shiny new pockmark as a souvenir. Please, future you, do not go here. Go literally anywhere else. You will be so glad you did. By the way, I'm a waiter in the service industry. I understand that angry people abuse this site to hurt businesses, but please understand, I'm not said person.
Jesus Christ.
That's from 10 what? Years ago. Shit.
Dude, like, literally, I feel like you got lucky.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, but that's the it's like, again, she does so many celebrities. So, like, clearly she picks and chooses what she's doing, because obviously you can't fucking scar a famous actress because people are going to find out. So it seems like the people that have experienced it are people that aren't any kind of public figure.
But I'm like, is she doing it on purpose?
I don't think so.
If she's not doing it on purpose, then I'm just confused, because how can she pick and choose to not do it on actresses but do it on typical people?
I think that it's like she's getting sloppy and maybe not paying attention as much, or rushing through things and maybe, like, giving the time to
people. And she is older. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that you can't work at her age, but, like, maybe she should not be practicing and should, like, maybe pass it on to her daughter, and she could still be involved in the business, but not practicing on people's faces with chemicals that could burn them.
Her daughter doesn't, she's not an esthetician. She's, like, the business side of it.
Girl, go to class.
No, I know. But, like, it feels like probably she's like, well, it's her practice, so, like, no one could take it over kind of vibe.
Yeah, those are the people that always fuck everything up because they don't know when to let go, and they just push it and push it until they literally get, like, shunned. And that's when they stop working.
I went down a rabbit hole, and honestly,
terrible on so many levels. A $300 spa treatment turned into a $2,800 nightmare. Do not go here. Sonia will add services you didn't ask for and end up overcharging.
Yeah, it says an upcharge. Oh, upcharge.
An upcharge.
Force you to buy,
Force you to buy products and not take no for an answer. I return all the
products.
Okay,
that's not as bad as the cuts.
Yeah,
I'll say. Like, I mean, that's horrible, and I would be so fucking frustrated.
Yeah.
I often feel, too, like, when I get facials, that they do really push their products.
Oh, 100. They like act that. Like you need it. And it's like, okay, well, I'm just gonna leave these here, and you decide if you want
to
get
them
or not.
Bro, they tried to do that to me at a Massage Envy. I was like, oh, interesting. Each product was, like, $200.
They,
like,
always are. No, I got a facial, like, probably, like, a year and a half ago, and I had left and spent, like, hundreds of dollars, and I was like, I didn't want these.
You feel like you're almost, like, under a spell when that's all happening, and then you leave with, like, a bag of shit you pretty much don't even know what to do with.
Yep.
Even with this mountain of evidence and what I like to think is a pretty clear-cut case, there's been no resolution, and the board hasn't been able to do anything for me. There's been no accountability, and to my knowledge, these services are still being performed unchecked. And clients just don't know, because it shouldn't be on the consumer to know what is within and without someone's license. Just because it's advertised or just because they're offering it apparently doesn't mean they should be doing it. And I've also been told that some of her recent clients are actually quite young.
And again, you wouldn't think to question it because, like, for example, So Mink, she was performing things that she, like, absolutely was not licensed to do, but, like, she was shady as fuck. So it was kind of like, okay, well, she also offers classes to, like, do, like, that's sketchy. Sonia is a well-known, renowned celebrity facialist. You just wouldn't question her because she does have, I mean, clearly not a spotless reputation, but, like, when you look her up, usually it's not bad stuff that comes up. It's, like, that she is, like, Gwyneth Paltrow's person, and, like, she has a lot of influencers because they will do it in exchange for promotion, like I did.
Yeah. And also, if we go back to the start of her story, the reason she even went to Sonia in the first place is because she started using her product and liked it.
Yeah.
So that's another
aspect. Really good.
If she has decent products, people are going to try them. And then they may be like, oh, well, I'd rather go to the source if I'm in LA or, like, whatever.
Exactly.
And then this can happen. So it is really fucked. And it is, I felt, like, important to cover, even though it made you a little uncomfortable, because it's like, people need to know.
No, like, that's the thing. And, like, I promoted her. So I'm like, oh my God, like, if someone went to her and that happened because of me, like, I don't think most of my audience was probably booking appointments with her, but even I'm not buying her products anymore. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
I can't believe she charged her. after, like, to fix
it. I can't believe she charged her that fucking much in general. Even if she was just going there to get treatments that she loved, that's an insane amount. But literally to charge someone to correct the burn that you caused on their skin is criminal.
Very, like,
I think she needs to be held accountable.
Cut and dry, your fault. Like, there's nothing that she did to cause that. That was 100% preventable.
And she did the same thing she did to you, which is like, we're doing a chemical peel today. And the whole bullshit of no downtime and stuff, I'm like, now you're just false advertising. Like, you're a crook. This is weird. But anyway, I wish Victoria well. I am so sorry that that happened to you. I hope that Sonia gets held accountable, and I hope that she never can do this to anybody else. So thank you for sharing your story. I think it's important.
I know, 100%. I would have had no idea. I was literally buying her products a few months ago. And seeing that Victoria, like, even after she posted that, like, she only has 8,000 followers. So she wasn't an influencer, similar to the other people complaining, because she can't do that to influencers, and she has to be more careful because they would post it everywhere. But now it's TikTok, it doesn't matter if you're an influencer, you can be on the For You page.
Sure
anyway.
Doesn't. Yeah. What a weird full circle moment, huh?
Yeah. Well, and that's, the comments have a lot of verified accounts, like, commenting on it, being like, this is insane. I don't know if it's people that have gone to her and haven't gone through them and looked, but I know that there was quite a few people I recognized being like, holy shit. Hey girlies, so we have an update, or I guess actually more of a lack of update. Sonia Dekar, the person and the company, has not said anything, and instead they have turned their comments off on Instagram and TikTok, and they're just posting content as usual. So that's something. But meanwhile, if we go over to Victoria's comments, there's quite a bit. In those comments, there's quite a few people, including a lot of influencers, that have said that they had a bad experience with her. Lord DIY commented and said, "Oh my god, I gasped. I'm so sorry you went through this. She also scarred me from a treatment for about a year, but nothing to this severity. Oh my god." I didn't look at all of these accounts, but they're verified. So someone named Amanda Pavillard says, "I'm so sorry this happened to you. As someone who saw her for only one appointment and feels she damaged my skin, I'm begging you to sue. She shouldn't be touching anyone's face, let alone for what she charges." Cindy Mello says, "I'm so, so sorry this happened to you. I had a bad experience with her a few years ago when I lived in LA and never went back. Thank you for sharing your experience." Ava Gutowski commented and said, "Sonia Dekar reeled me in by treating me like her quote-unquote family too, calling all her clients quote-unquote her daughters, and then attempting to get me to do free work in exchange for unnecessary treatments. Eventually, the overwhelming feeling that something wasn't quite right took over and I never went back. I'm so sorry this happened to you. This is not okay." And then there's some other non-verified accounts that say things like, "Sonia Dekar ruined my skin in the early 2000s. It took me years to get my skin back to its normal healthy place. She was a lunatic monster. I'm so sorry you went through this. She should not be allowed to treat people." Someone named Chanel Sorrell says, "I've been waiting to make a video about this. She ruined me," in all caps. Someone named Audrey Peters says, "I know so many girls, including myself, that had bad experiences with her. I'm so sorry this happened to you." Someone named Kira says, "You're not alone. She did quote-unquote microneedling on me once, and both of my cheeks looked burned with giant scabs. I never went back again. Can also confirm she charges 1,000 times over what she should, and acted like family with me as well. She's a full scam artist." So those are just some of the comments. I'm sure there's more. And you can actually see Victoria responding to several of them, saying, "Please message me with a heart," which makes me think maybe she has started speaking with a lawyer and they think a class action could be in order. I don't know. The whole thing is just absolutely insane. And I think in the episode I said, oh yeah, like, we didn't text, but I also said that that couple year period of my life, I just, like, everything's kind of a blur. And I looked back and, plot twist, actually we did text a decent amount. Or, I mean, she texted me and then I would respond sometimes. And it looks like the last time I saw her was early November. And later in November, she actually texted me saying she wanted to do microneedling on me and to let her know if I wanted to do it before the holiday. No side effects. And I never went. I don't remember there being, like, a reason, but she follows up and asks me to come in multiple other times. And I just never responded, it looks like. I assume it was because my back was really bad and I was just kind of like a mess. But yeah. So it appears that I ghosted her, possibly for the best, because she wanted to do the microneedling on me, and apparently that's what she did on someone else and left a scar. So I just feel very fortunate that none of these horror stories happened to me, but it's crazy to know that it could have been me. Also, I went to Victoria's Instagram and saw some comments. One by Renee Rouleau, who is actually the esthetician that does Sabrina Carpenter and like Demi Lovato skin. And we actually ended up meeting her randomly at the Sabrina Carpenter concert, or I guess it was before we went to the concert, at the hotel we were getting drinks at. Small world. She commented and said, "I commend you for speaking out and so terribly sorry what you have endured in her hands. I had a facial from her 20 years ago, and the person who prepped my skin before Sonia came in was not a licensed esthetician. And in fact, Sonia had just met her the night before. The girl was a waitress, and Sonia convinced and hired her to come work for her the next day. I reported her establishment to the board, and they did eventually go out to her place a few months later, for which she proceeded to punch the inspector." Oh my god, that must have been the incident that I referenced to Jesse. That's crazy. She says, "But ultimately, the board never did anything about it because they would have to catch the waitress red-handed giving treatment, and they weren't able to do that. It is absolutely insane, the amount of bad experiences people have had in her hands." And there is another comment from someone named Chef Bay, and she said, "She scarred my face too. Didn't wear gloves when microneedling, and I had an infection for a month. I'm so sorry to hear this." And then I have my screenshot of her texting me saying, "I want to do the microneedling. Let me know if you want to do it for the holiday." Like, fuck. Glad I didn't go in. Ugh. This is crazy. It's definitely not going away. So while I don't think they're about to come out with a statement, I wonder what they're gonna do, because so far just looks like the Daily Mail is covering it, but I feel like other outlets will definitely follow suit. So we will keep you posted if there's any updates. But for now, back to us.
Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank our next sponsor, and that's Cash App.
Jesse, do you remember when you fell for those scammers that said they were going to do the concrete in your backyard and you gave them a bunch of money and then they never did?
You know, I do remember that. Thank you so much for bringing it up.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was a really unfortunate situation that, had I been using Cash App at the time, may not have happened.
I'm glad you got where I was going with that.
Yeah, I did. Great segue.
When it comes to your money, you deserve to feel safe from fraud and in control. And that's exactly what you can expect from Cash App.
Yeah, when you get your Cash App card, not only do you get access to a ton of perks and benefits, like exclusive early access to nationwide concert presales or discounts on popular brands that you probably already use and love, but you also have extra security with the power to instantly lock or unlock your card right from your phone in just one tap.
And if there's a suspicious transaction that pops up on your card, Cash App has your back by automatically declining the purchase.
And here's where Cash App could have helped me when I was being scammed, because if you're about to send money to someone through Cash App and Cash App notices something looks a little bit off or that you may be falling for a scam, it's going to send you a warning right before the money's sent to make sure you take a second and confirm all of the details and that everything looks right. And if you still feel like something's up or the account is trying to scam you, you can actually report it to the app and have access to Cash App's 24/7 chat support.
And then it'll be there for people moving forward too, because you'll have reported it.
And for a limited time only, new Cash App customers can use our exclusive code to earn some additional cash. So it's actual real money. All you got to do is download Cash App and use our exclusive referral code SECURE10 in your profile. Send $5 to a friend within 14 days and you'll get $10 dropped right into your account.
Terms apply. That's money. That's Cash App. And thank you so much to Cash App for being an amazing sponsor of this episode.
But anyway, moving on to our second topic, this also involves something bad, but for a different reason. This is about an influencer who went to Disney despite the fact that they really should have stayed home. And I feel like we've covered, no, I'm certain that we have.
Yeah, no, it was.
We've covered something like this before.
The cup, and it was like the kid had something that I couldn't pronounce.
Oh, impetigo.
Impetigo.
It was that somebody got their Stanley stolen at Disney, and then she got on TikTok and said, "Well, whoever stole that, congratulations, you got impetigo because my son has it."
Yeah, and then afterwards was like, "No, it wasn't contagious. I just was mad." And like, it was just no, you brought your kid to Disney.
That's not a funny
joke.
And then the other time that we covered something like this was when everybody went to Disney despite the hurricane that was hitting Disney. That was a fun one.
Disney just brings people out from all the corner. It's like weather circumstances don't matter. They're going to Disney.
And you know what? I find this so interesting because I booked a Disney trip for my daughter in November, and the amount of money that I have spent just to book it and have our rooms and tickets for our family is sickening. It is disgusting. Disney has gotten so expensive. I don't know how people go anymore.
I don't like, even it's think insane. It's worth it.
It may Hot not take. Be, but honestly, if you have kids, it is. For instance, like, we're taking Amelie to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and that's gonna change her life.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely. That's gonna be a core memory.
It's interesting because when I was little, we didn't go to Disney. Like, my mom, I don't think I've ever been to Disney with my family.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think it was just because it was expensive, because we, at one point, had some money. So I did go a lot, though, because my friend, actually, whose wedding I'm going to next month, her mom was like the executive vice president of marketing for Nestle. Nestle and Disney are very closely, and they were like partners in a bunch of stuff. So
she got free tickets.
I don't think there were season passes, but it was like once a year you could go and we would like stay in the hotel, and it was like the best time ever.
Yeah, you're from California, so you went to Disneyland, right?
Yeah. Which also I know is like not as good as Disney World. So maybe that's my bias there. We used to go to Knott's Berry Farm instead. That was like our go-to. And I think it was much cheaper. Like Disney is insane, and it always has been.
It's always been expensive. I just feel like no matter how expensive it used to be, it's not even comparable. Like I was actually jaw on the floor when I heard my travel agent recite how much I owed.
And it kind of feels like with airlines where it's like, you always have to like, and then you have to pay for this, and then you have to pay for this.
Yeah.
Nothing's included. It's like a very like base level. And then there's like a lot of add-ons.
Yeah, a lot of add-ons, like the Disney dining plan, which I did do because I'm like, well, we need 3 meals a day for everybody in my party. So it's a whole thing. But the reason we're talking about this is because when people book a Disney trip, because it is such an investment monetarily, to cancel it, I can understand somebody grappling with that. You know what I mean? Even if it's insured, let's say, which in this story, it is an insured trip. And usually when you spend a lot of money, you want it to be insured just in case anything like what we're going to talk about comes up. But you still have that like lead up. Like for some people, it's a year leading up to it, or like months leading up to it. And you've told your kids and like they're so excited, and it's this whole thing.
Also, if you've asked off work or like had to like move things around,
it'll be a horrible shit show and everybody will be sad and depressed for sure if you have to cancel your Disney trip. So I understand that. I understand it sucking. I don't understand why someone would do what we're about to watch.
Okay. I'm very curious because I've not seen any of this.
This is TikToker Hillary Smith. And unfortunately, as of right now, her account is deleted. We do have the re-uploads of what she was putting on because she kind of doubled down on everything. But I think she just poof, disappeared for a little bit. She might be back. I'm sure she will eventually. But she did a little put a finger down trend moment. You know, when you're like, put a finger down if you've done blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, bitch, that's a very unique experience. Yeah, yeah.
Put a finger down if you spent 1 year saving and planning for a trip to Disney for your entire family for your daughter's 5th birthday. You have the resort book, the stroller reserve, the shuttles, the meal plan, the lightning lane, all the things, all the Disney things. Spend 1 year doing this. And the night before you leave to go on this trip, your daughter says she doesn't feel so good. And a little bit later, she starts throwing up everywhere. And then a few hours later, you start throwing up everywhere. And you tell yourself it's food poisoning. Because it has to be food poisoning. Because it can't be the stomach virus. So you both stay up all night throwing up everywhere.
Oh no.
All while you're supposed to be packing, because you're also the type of person that waits until the night before a trip to pack. So you get up the next morning after 0 hours of sleep and you decide to make it to Birmingham, where your flight leads out of. You're gonna make the 2-hour drive to Birmingham and reevaluate the situation when you get to Birmingham.
It's a long drive to reevaluate.
Usually, once you drive 2 hours to an airport, that's because you're gonna get on a flight.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You don't go there to think.
Kind of a long trip to be like, should we go? Especially while you're sick.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And what she's describing is likely norovirus, which if you've never had norovirus, which I thankfully have not in my adult life. I don't know if I did as a kid. I know family members who have, and all I can say is picture ejection from every hole. Like literally, you don't know whether to sit on the toilet and throw up in a bucket or shit in the bucket and fuck it. You know what I mean?
Well, because also I feel like when you're throwing up, it's kind of like your whole body like tense.
Yeah, so then it just comes out the back end. It is the most violent virus. And it usually is like a 24-hour bug. It's not like you're gonna be throwing up and shitting yourself for 3 days.
Wee woo. It is I, the misinformation police. Long time no see, girlies. Hope you're all doing well. Just had to interrupt here and correct Jessica Urban's misinformation about how long the norovirus lasts. While it can be for only 24 hours, it's not uncommon for symptoms to actually last up to 3 days. And while the CDC says that you're most contagious while you're experiencing symptoms, studies have shown that you can still spread norovirus for 2 weeks or more, even after you feel better. As for how it spreads, well, first, I want to issue a trigger warning. Not just for the information I'm about to share with you, but for the rest of the episode. episode, honestly. If you don't want to hear about bodily functions, I'd highly recommend sitting this one out, girlies. But for those of you who want to continue, the way norovirus spreads is via contaminated surfaces. So this includes after an infected person touches surfaces with their bare hands, or when food, water, or objects contaminated with it are placed on surfaces. Also, when tiny drops of the infected person's vomit sprays through the air, landing on surfaces, or entering another person's mouth. And then, of course, when someone with the virus has diarrhea that splatters onto surfaces. I'm sorry I had to be the one to share that information. And I'm also sorry for any of the descriptions that you're going to be hearing throughout the rest of this episode, because that's all you're getting from me. I think I'll let the girlies take it from here.
You are still contagious a little bit before and after, even when you're done throwing up.
She's driving 2 hours to get on a plane, correct?
Yeah, well, that's the thing that I'm thinking of already. I'm like, how the fuck, if you're vomiting violently and your kids are vomiting violently, are you going to drive 2 hours to Birmingham?
Even going through the security line would be like...
All of it.
Flying hungover, I've had to do many times. But like, I've had times where I was so hungover that I literally like threw up in the trash can outside of the airport. And then had to stand in a security line for like an hour. And it was like palms sweating, like about to throw up the entire time.
Oh my God.
That I feel like is less bad than this.
Yeah. Because again, it's not just you, it's your kids and everything. So like, I don't know what gave her the strength or stupidity to get in that car and start driving. But I'm pretty sure if everyone's throwing up, it's time to cancel.
Including
the
kid whose birthday it was. It's not even like you're like trying to put on a brave face just for like, no, the kid's puking and shitting too.
Yeah.
Throw everything in the car, get everybody buckled in, and you hit the road. And the next thing you know, your 7-month-old is throwing up.
Oh my God. In the car?
He only does it once. You say, well, he's 7 months old. Maybe it was spit up.
What?
And you keep going. You cleaned him up, but he's okay. He's fine.
She delirious?
Cleaned him up and keep going. Denial. It's called denial.
Delusion.
But we're in it denial. Deep. Okay. You get to Birmingham, get through security, get to your gate.
Hey, I thought you were going there to reconsider. What's happening?
Like, when was the reevaluation period going on?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Also, what is the husband saying during all this?
Okay, she doesn't mention him. I haven't heard the whole story. This is about where I stopped.
Or wife. I don't know. I feel like, did she mention a husband?
Yeah, I don't know her situation. Yeah. But like, I don't know if there's a partner here.
Oh.
You get strapped in. And at this point, your husband's not doing so well.
There's a husband.
Okay. He's not doing so well.
Oh my God.
And you take off.
On a plane with a bunch of other people.
Has the most diabolical, ungodly blowout in his diaper that you have ever seen in your entire life.
I don't know exactly how norovirus is spread, but I'm going to go ahead and, you know, just throw this out there. It's probably through the shit or the vomit. So the fact that you are on a plane with hundreds of other people.
That's why I was just saying. I'm like in an enclosed.
Yeah. And your 7-month-old, you know what a blowout looks like, Lily?
Not.
There's diarrhea juice everywhere.
Not firsthand.
Like literally it just comes out and it goes, like it seeps through their clothes. And so that means that it definitely touched the seat. And my like step grandma, she used to clean airplanes. And she always told me, she's like, don't touch anything. It's all disgusting. We do not clean it. Okay. Like we technically wipe things off, but we mainly just pick up trash and like vacuum crumbs.
And if it was contagious enough that they all are getting it within this period, like, and they weren't sick, like when
there's
other
people on that plane that got it.
The whole plane probably has it.
100%. It is highly contagious. And the air on an airplane is recycled.
Exactly.
I understand if you have a small cold or something and you still fly, I get it. But if you have something that is as violent as norovirus and you still travel on an airplane, you might just be an evil motherfucker.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
That's like, it's past like, oh, I understand why you would be like trying to suck it up because like you planned it, it's expensive, blah, blah. No. Now you are infecting a bunch of other innocent people that you're going to ruin whatever they're going to as well.
And not to mention, it sucks when just anybody gets it. But if there's somebody that's immunocompromised on there and they get norovirus, like, dude, it's hardcore.
Up the front, up the back, out the sides.
Thank you.
It's everywhere.
For the visual.
Okay. All right. On your husband who's actively choking back vomit at this point.
What did she just say? Who's actively what?
Choking back vomit. At the moment,
I thought she's a chugging, and that was an even worse visual. But
she's got a bit of an accent. Yeah.
You reach into the diaper bag to get the pack of wipes. You pull it out, and there are 2 wipes in this entire diaper bag.
Okay, well now you're just dumb.
Yeah,
now you just didn't pack because you're
like,
stupid. Maybe it's because you had norovirus when you were packing.
Probably.
No.
Yeah. And no extra clothes.
Oh,
that seems like an oversight.
You didn't pack the diaper bag correctly because you were
had norovirus. Yeah. Got it.
Throwing up. Mm-hmm. You do what you can with the 2 wipes.
Which is nothing.
Which is not much. Okay. You get a blanket and you wrap everything in the blanket and shove it in the diaper bag.
Oh my God.
You begin your descent into Orlando. There's 30 minutes left on this plane. You're almost there. And your husband hands you the baby and he says, I can't take it anymore. He reaches into the seat in front of him and pulls out a motion sickness bag.
No.
And
she's saying it like it's funny. It's not fucking funny. But second of all, listen, I genuinely do understand if it catches you so off guard, the nausea or whatever, it just creeps up on you.
Like,
you
literally
have to grab that bag. Yeah, go to the fucking bathroom. Yeah. If you are an adult and you knew the entire flight that you needed to throw up, be prepared to go to the bathroom. Why the fuck would you? The fucking smell. If you open a sandwich, I got a fucking bagel egg sandwich me and Nassim both did on the way back from Vegas, and I was about to open it, and I closed it up. I was like, I can't
do it.
People
like, it's at so offices
rude.
That microwave like tuna.
Yeah, like I literally could not do it, so I put it away and I didn't eat it because the smells travel so fast on an airplane
and
because
it's stale
recycled air. So the
yeah.
fact that you puked. Oh, I'm so
you're
angry.
Overlooking also that their baby had a blowout. Have you ever sat next to someone who like farted on a plane even because it's like, and then you get nauseous just because it's so horrible and you like can't escape
it. I will say
sometimes it doesn't,
you know,
smell.
I don't know the 7 month old situation, but usually they haven't really even started solid food. Of course they haven't started solid food.
Yeah, but usually when your body's sick, I feel like things smell different.
There's gonna be a smell, but I'm saying it's not gonna be an adult diarrhea. Well, you know what I mean? It's horrible. But like, don't, you can't picture like a hot,
okay, we don't need more description. Yeah. But throw up on top of the smell, which I'm so sorry anyone watching this.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we should put a trigger warning. The smell is one thing, but also some people, like, seeing that is like,
yeah,
will send them into a spiral.
For sure. There's people that have a emetophobia or something like that. It's the fear of throwing up, which I do think I have. I do have a fear of doing it to the point that I will push myself to not throw up. To like, I will do anything to not throw up. But if somebody's like throwing up or something, I don't have like the fear of that.
I was with a few friends and we were in the back of an Uber coming home from a bar, and one of the friends was throwing up and she threw up in her purse. And then the other friend in the car, she can't throw up, like absolutely not. That is not an option. And will like start crying and like freak out if she has to. And if she sees anyone else, is equally as traumatizing for her. And I was in the middle and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And one of them was like trying to climb out of the car to get away from the throw up. And the other one, it was a lot.
What a fucking disaster. Yeah. But yeah, needless to say, you should have made it to the bathroom.
Sitting next to someone with all of this going on would have been traumatizing. I would have never flown again.
The rest of the way to Orlando. Filled up two of them, okay?
Shut up.
And you get off this plane and you get to Orlando with your husband who looks like he's on his deathbed.
Dude, I'm just thinking how mad I would be if I was on that plane. Uh-huh. Like, so fucking angry. This is insane.
It hit him hard and fast, okay?
We kind of could have seen it coming, though.
Your husband, he looks like he's on his deathbed. Your four-year-old who hasn't eaten or slept in 24 hours and was also, by the way, in a pageant the day before. She gets home and gets sick almost immediately. So she still has on makeup from this pageant. And her hair is still done for this pageant. And I don't know what she had on her body. I don't know what clothes she had on.
What?
And you're naked, baby. Because you didn't have an extra set of clothes in the diaper bag. He had on a diaper, but he's naked. And you have to immediately find a wheelchair because your husband says he's about to pass out.
Jesus.
You have to find a wheelchair in this airport, put your husband in it, hand him your naked seven-month-old, and get your little four-year-old little girl and wheel your entire family through the Orlando airport to baggage claim, to wait an hour for a shuttle and ride the shuttle for another hour to get to Disney, to spend a week at Disney.
Feels like a rental car would have been the move there.
Yeah. Then she puts her finger down. Unique experience, queen.
So did they even go to Disney or did they just like die in the hotel the whole time? And all that was for nothing.
No, I think they did go to Disney. Imagine the roles were reversed. You spent a year saving for Disney and some idiot brings her children and her husband and gives you neurovirus and you cannot enjoy your trip.
And people go for like a week. So it's like if you ran into them the first day, then you're fucked.
This was one of her responses before she deleted her account.
And you said she had insurance on this trip?
Yes, she did.
That's insane.
She confirms that.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Not that it wouldn't have been insane regardless, but especially insane.
It's worse. Yeah.
We were delusional idiots that day, okay?
Yeah.
Of the worst kind. And we deserved everything that happened to us on the plane. We did. And I hope to God that no one else got it.
Well, no, you did.
Yeah,
you
got it. Like, the people definitely did.
People on that plane. This happened 2 years ago, and I still think about those people. I'm mortified. I don't like those people. I don't like those people that send their kids to school sick and get on planes sick.
Well, congratulations. You're worse than them.
You have far, far surpassed them. Gold medal for you.
Sick, travel sick, or I don't like those people. We don't like those people.
Then why'd you do it?
And what makes it even worse is we had insurance on this trip.
Why would she just made why it so much worse for herself?
She's like, I know everyone hates me, but I can give you another reason too.
No, literally, it's like, I know you thought it was bad, but let me tell you how it's 10 times worse.
When we had the conversation of, you know, do we go ahead with the trip? Do we, you know, call the travel agent? What do we do? It was at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning that we had to make this decision because we had to leave to go to the airport to catch our flight by 6. It's very early in the morning, not the best time to be making phone calls, trying to figure this whole thing out. And at that point in time, it was just me and my daughter that were sick. We didn't know anyone else with any kind of sickness, stomach flu, like nothing. We
didn't know anyone else came on out of nowhere, though.
And husband and baby, mom and dad, my mom and dad, who were also on this trip, everybody else is fine. Just me and her. We weren't actively sick anymore. Me and her did share a meal the night before or the day before. Just me and her. So we decided that morning at 4:30 or 5, whatever time it was, that if the worst thing that happened that day was that, you know, me and her are a little tired and it's a long travel day, we'll just get through it and we'll rest when we get to Disney. And it's not worth, you know, tracking down the travel agent or making...
Have you had food poisoning before? Because, like, what you described doesn't sound like food poisoning. Like, food poisoning is kind of like a nonstop. I feel like throwing up, maybe shitting too. But, like, you're throwing up and, like, you're in the bathroom. Like, you couldn't have driven to the airport. It has to, like, run its course. But, like, you're not, like, doing stuff. You're not packing and stuff during food poisoning, I feel like. So for her to be like, oh, we just thought it was food poisoning. Like, really? Because that doesn't sound like food poisoning.
You don't get food poisoning and then, like, feel so much better when you throw up that you can, like, pack back.
Exactly. You're, like, out really for the count. Yeah.
Everything that happened after we left the house, I don't have words for. Maybe should we have turned the car around or...
You should have started it.
Maybe should we... Absolutely you should have. What the fuck are you saying?
How could you not think that looking back?
We had not been gone that long from the house when my little boy threw up. And at that point, everybody else is still fine. Everybody's fine. And he is 7 months old. He'd just eaten. And after that, we cleaned him up, and then he's fine the rest of the trip for another 2 hours. He's fine. He doesn't do anything. I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't explain what happened other than us just trying to rationalize this nightmare away. Like, it can't be this. It can't be this. Just delusion of the worst kind. And
why
yes,
would you tell
hindsight is 2020, and we 100% looking back.
You should have taken this one to the grave.
I do not recommend, encourage any of that behavior. Would do it differently.
I would hope so.
And I paid for it dearly, okay?
So did somebody else, probably.
I was going to say, is she missing the fact that, like, she said, oh, I think about those people every day? It feels like you think there's a chance that no one did get sick, though. And, like, it seems like the chance is pretty high that they did.
Then she started kind of crashing out because, like we hear a lot of times when we cover people, it was like, I didn't expect for this to go viral. That's the sentiment.
But you should have expected backlash, even if it didn't, just from, like, people that know you, even. Like, what is this? Why would you volunteer this information?
You know what arguably makes me an even bigger idiot? Is that I posted that
video. Stop
talking. I was like, please don't tell us. Like, why are you doing this? Are you a masochist?
Yesterday, for my 5 followers who already knew that story.
So why
thinking
would you
it would
it
be
TikTok?
A little giggle, a little, remember that time at Disney? Remember that? Only for it to go semi-viral and get over 50,000 views and get informed in the comments of what a terrible person you are.
Well,
first TikTok, okay?
Feels like you should have figured that out by yourself, but...
Who does that? As much as I wish I would have kept that to myself, now, the damage has been done, and it's out there. But I will say that, trying to look on the bright side here, I find it encouraging that other people are so concerned about other people's welfare.
Because you weren't.
Yeah, we're doing it on your behalf, Queen, because you could not do it.
Retroactively. Wait, also, when she says, who does that? Is she referring to people commenting about, like, this is bad? Because, like, who does this should apply to you doing it.
No. I think she's talking about herself. Like, who does that? Who posts something?
I thought she was saying about,
like,
the
commenters. Like, she's very self-deprecating, but then also, I don't know what she is. I'm very confused by her. This is her saying that she's fragile because she's not an influencer.
I don't know who y'all think y'all are dealing with here. Okay. But I'm not built for this. I'm not built for this level of criticism. I'm fragile, okay? I'm not an influencer. I do not have thick skin. I stopped reading the comments a long time ago because I could just see, I did not expect this, but I could just see where it was going. And we have inner peace here that we have to preserve, okay? So I stopped reading a long time ago. But you know it's bad when you have multiple people in your life texting you to check on you to ask if you're okay.
I mean, what the fuck did you expect, dude? Like, this is TikTok. How many times do we need to say this? Like, anybody can go viral at any time.
And she was like, I thought it would just be like funny for the five people that follow me. Why would you post that for the five people that already knew the story? Like, that feels like you knew other people were at least gonna kind of, like,
why would you tell anyone at all, even in your real life? This should have gone to the grave with you because it makes you look so bad.
Yeah. Also, the second it goes kind of viral, delete the account. If you only have five followers, there's nothing to preserve. That's it. Delete it and peace out. Social media is done for a while.
I think this was one of her last TikToks before she deleted.
It took her this many.
From what I've gathered, the overwhelming response to that video that I posted about the Disney trip has been disbelief and shocked that people like me even exist and that I and other people that are apparently like me are what is wrong with this world. And that is unfortunate. And to those people, I realize that you feel this way because of a 3-minute video that I posted of my own accord.
She keeps summarizing it. And I'm like, yes, that is exactly
what we're going to introduce anything new here or.
Yeah.
And so I do not have anything to say to those people at this time. There is a smaller percentage of people that are interested in the story and where my last video left off and they want more details.
No, thank you. Of what?
So I can do that. I can.
What?
Yeah. How many times did you guys vomit in front of unsuspecting strangers? Like, what is there more to say?
Can you describe in detail the smells that were?
Yeah. Honestly, if I had to ask one more question, it would be, did you even get to enjoy Disney? You guys were probably
out
of fucking commission.
That was my immediate reaction. It was like, so did you go to the park or did it ruin your trip and you should have just stayed home anyway?
But other than that, no details needed. No. Thank you.
And I saw another comment that said that we were idiots for going to the pageant the day before because it's a large gathering and you're supposed to avoid large gatherings before you go on a trip. Because that could have been where we got
sick from. Not necessarily, like, unless you're like...
Yeah, I mean, does it put you at higher risk in general? Like, you have a higher risk at getting something in a large gathering than you do at staying home, sure. But like, if it's something that you had planned...
Well, that's... I'm like, you're not just going to be in a bubble for the week before you go on a trip.
Yeah. Oh, remember that movie Bubble Boy?
I do.
It's an interesting one.
It did make me think about where we might have gotten it from. It could have been from the pageant, the grocery store, someone sending their sickly kid to daycare, and that person could have been selfish and
or
only
delusional,
thinking about themselves with zero regard for other people. It could have been from someone like that. And if I'm honest, have all at one point in time made decisions that reflect that type of mentality. Or it could have been from someone that was doing the best that they could with the circumstances that they were given, however flawed or impaired their judgment and not wise.
Is that like suggesting that
she's making like this roundabout, like,
well, I get what she's trying to, like,
comparison to herself.
Yeah, that's, it's like if she's like describing maybe like there was a mom that had to go to work and she had to send her kid to school anyway. Yeah. And it was like she didn't know what else.
And I get
but that isn't what the situation was with her.
No, you had a fully protected trip. And yes, your daughter would have been bummed out, of course.
But her daughter was sick too. So like her daughter probably would have enjoyed the day to sleep as well.
Yeah, like you could have postponed it even a month later. Like, dude, I understand it would have sucked. That's why I started this off by saying that. Like, I'm not expecting you to be like, yay, our trip to Disney.
Yeah. Yeah, but like shit happens and you gotta reevaluate. Yeah,
literally,
the
I guess.
And if they were at that pageant, especially if they were at that pageant, it was from someone that was probably trying to make something happen for their kid.
Okay, well, maybe we don't.
What the fuck are you trying to make happen for your kid? What is this?
Yeah, I was gonna say, maybe we don't like talk about child pageantry as like being like a selfless act that a parent does for their kid. Like,
is it smart to go to an event where you're not feeling great? Is it smart to go to the grocery store?
Yeah, but somebody has to go to a grocery store. Like, maybe they can't afford delivering their groceries.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, there are people who have to do certain things, and I could have a lot more sympathy for them than I can for you right now.
That was what my point was. It's like, there's some people that feel like they kind of get backed into it, like they don't have any other options. And usually, economically, that is the reason. But like, hers, she has just introduced more and more information that it's like, what? Like,
you didn't have to do that.
This was just an inconvenience for you to cancel it. So you selfishly did it and then blamed it on being delusional for being sick. But it's like, I don't know, when I'm sick,
I don't want to go anywhere.
All I think about is like, I can't do anything else.
Well, I don't want to listen to her speak anymore. There's a little bit more to that TikTok, but it is quite unbearable. She's like lip smacking and it's a lot. Just in case some people are watching this and don't know what they would do in that situation, please do not
don't
shit
do this.
And vomit on a plane full of people when you have norovirus. That is a big no.
Yeah,
big
and,
no.
And personal tip, if you do, which you shouldn't, but like if you do, don't post it on TikTok.
Don't post about
it. Don't tell everyone.
So many bad decisions were made here that it's actually mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's like she blamed the going on being delusional from being sick. You're not sick anymore. Why would you post this?
This is ridiculous.
What are you blaming that on?
Okay, well, anyway, that's all we've got. So we love the internet.
Yeah. Wow, what a journey today was.
I know, right? Okay, mine is going to be from Chelsea Lynn. She's the one that does that Trailer Trash Tammy thing that I like. And then I like her podcast sometimes.
I don't,
you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
You'll know her face when you see it. But anyway, she's just very funny.
When you're walking along the beach and you think you're going to turn around and have cute little footprints in the sand, you turn back and it looks like a woolly mammoth bred with a Bigfoot. Came trampling through the beach.
Why are they so deep? He was like, it must have, like the tide just changed.
On its way to dinner, just...
I relate to this a lot. I feel like I try to do like cutesy little things and then I'll be reminded that I'm a big girl. You know what I mean? I'm so tall. I'm just not a little girl, okay? It's okay.
I've never had cute footprints because of
No, oh, never. Bunion. My shit is huge. My legs, like, they're just so long. It's like that one episode of Proud Family, you know, when she takes off her shoes and her feet are like this long.
I don't really, but it is giving me like vague flashbacks.
It, you would know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a new trend. I assume it's an app that people are using where they sing or say something and record it and then it plays it back in reverse and then the person, like whoever they're with, has to repeat it.
I surely have never seen that.
Then they record the other person saying it in reverse to see if it sounds like how it does front ways.
No, I haven't seen that at
all. It's so funny and I wish we could do it. I don't know if we could
do a remote.
Yeah, but this guy was like weirdly good at it. Usually it's people that like it sounds nothing like it and it just sounds like gibberish, but this guy has a gift. I guess the app is called Reverse Audio.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Oh,
oh, I get it now.
You didn't think I got it.
Caleb farted. It are off fully.
You were farting.
Watching people's reactions to it is my favorite.
Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Hi, mamma, my mamma.
My mama.
Oh, that was good.
So that was part two. I guess they had another one. But the people I've been seeing do it, it's terrible. Like, it doesn't sound anything like it. This was really impressive.
That's so funny.
I feel like you would be good at it. I feel like if you have, like, good...
He was,
like
off
can...
key, so it definitely made it, like, a little bit... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to make it more complicated, too.
That's the ones I was listening to. They were doing, like, long, like... They were all songs, and it was, like... Full lyrics, usually.
Well, anyway, guys, that's all we've got for you. So if you made it to the end, we appreciate you, but we really best be skedaddling.
Hope we didn't traumatize you with, honestly, that entire episode.
I know. But anyway, as always, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you on Friday. Bye.
Cheers.